It was interesting that Dan chose that scripture to read from 2 Corinthians 2. It reminded me of Blair, who used to be with us, and he was actually on for scripture reading sometime. I forget, he's passed away about, is it 5 years ago? It could be as many as 5 years ago. He had chosen this scripture, and not the whole thing that Dan read, but this part here. He never got to read it because he was sick that day, and then a few days or weeks later, I can't remember how long, he passed away. He knew he was sick, so he was going to read these verses. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amazing. In the last few months, the times that I've been speaking, I've sort of taken you on a personal journey that God's been taking me on, and I always felt the trouble with being a pastor who speaks is that when you read the Bible, you often take it for what I can preach about, speak about, and you're not only taking it for yourself. Well, I take this much very much for myself, but I felt also the things that I was speaking about in the past few months have been very much for us as a congregation, for you as well. I was taken with the words from today's English version when it talks about being in Christ, union with Christ. This idea of actually almost like a marriage. We are married to Christ. We are baptized into Him. This summer we had the privilege of baptizing three of our grandsons here in Saskatchewan. And what came to me most was the idea of baptizing them into Jesus. And it's just like, that's the marriage ceremony. We say, we've been chosen, now we choose Jesus as well. So we come to be together, not just for as long as we both shall live, but forever we are united with Christ. That idea just really grabbed me. I think that may have been in May or June. Then I talked about what is the gospel. Talked about the simplicity of the gospel. What really is the gospel? And then looking at the gospel in action and actually realizing that when the gospel was preached in the book of Acts, things happened. People were saved. People got turned around. People were healed. People were delivered. So the Acts of the Apostles is all about preaching the gospel and seeing what God would do with the simple preaching of the gospel. There's a Catholic organization called Acts 29, and they are an evangelistic group of people who preach the gospel. You know that Acts only has 28 chapters, but the Acts of those who believe in Jesus continues to our day. So this is very much my desire. The proclamation of the good news and what accompanies it, salvation, healing, deliverance. That should be continuing. We know that. Last month, in the beginning of October, I preached from, or I spoke from Ezekiel 47. It's a chapter that I probably read many times, but never has it impacted me as it has just in these last few months or these last few weeks. I believe that it's a beautiful illustration of us being bearers of the good news. And I just want to go to that chapter again today because we didn't finish last time we were speaking about. I called my message Temples and Rivers and Trees. And we only got to temples and rivers last time. So we're going to talk about trees today. But let's just go back to that book and read a little bit about it. Before we do, let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for the way you put things together. Just realizing that you have destined us for knowing you and making you known, and how you encourage us and strengthen us, and how you believe that we can believe that you want to use us to spread this good news. Thank you for the good news that is known amongst us and that is lived amongst us in this world. Lord, we want to be bearers of your good news. We want to be fruitful and see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Bless us today as we look into these verses, and we just pray that we might be encouraged and strengthened and built up and motivated to do what you've called us to do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So Ezekiel's had this vision of this temple, all kinds of measurements, the exact dimensions of it, just where it was supposed to be and everything else. And this temple has never been built. He had some very specific instructions. But something happened in Ezekiel 47 that was very unique. There was water coming from under the threshold of the temple. It was coming down from under the south side of this temple. This is what he was seeing in his dream, or his the vision that he had. It was trickling from the south side. And then this man took him to different places on this stream, which became a river, to where it was just ankle deep, and then it became 1,000 cubits later, it became knee deep, 1,000 cubits after that, waist deep, and 1,000 cubits after that, it became so deep that you could swim in it. In fact, you couldn't cross this river. And then he led me back. This is verse 6 and 7. Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea." Anybody been to the Dead Sea? Yes, some of us have been. I tried to swim. I actually swam a little bit too far, and I was warned not to go any further, because there's a lot of, it's like coral or something in the sea. It's a buildup of salt, and you can easily injure your feet on it and everything else. Anyways, the Dead Sea is very dead. You can float in it because it's so salty. Anyway, when it emptied into the sea, the salty water there became fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows and makes the salt water fresh. So wherever the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not be fresh. They will be left for salt. Let's just review what we talked about regarding the temple. I was saying that this chapter, for me, is a beautiful illustration of us being bearers of the good news. We know that we are temples. Paul says that we are the temple of the living God. In 2 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, he makes two statements. You yourselves are God's temple. You together are God's temple. So individually we house God, and together we are God's temple. Out of this temple flows the water that brings life. That takes me to the book of John, chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, or the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. Notice he stood. The teachers often sat to teach. This time he stood. There was more authority there. This time he stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So this river is meant to flow from these temples. We also think of the verse in John 4 where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman who came to the well to get water. Whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I don't know how many of you know the song, I've Got a River of Life Flowing Out from Me. We used to sing that back in the 70s, I think. I've got a river of life flowing out from me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out from me. And then the chorus is, spring up, O well, within my soul, spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly. So it's the river that flows from within. We talked about temples. We talked about rivers. I love the verse, where the river flows, everything will live. So I've really been thinking about wherever we go, we bring life. It's so should be flowing out from us with when we're filled with the Spirit, that this life comes out from us all the time. But today we want to talk about trees. I was thinking, should I continue this or should I not? October is my birthday month, and I got two cards, one from my sister in Langley, who painted an acrylic painting for me of a tree, the tree of golden light. And then my sister from Fort St. John sent me a card. It was a tree, that, also a homemade card, a tree in autumn colors. And then from my wife, I got a card that was an image of a still life painting of fruit. And we're talking about fruit trees. So I figured, it's confirmed. I got to speak about these trees. I got to speak about the tree of the fruit trees. So let's just go back to Ezekiel and read the verses about trees. The end of verse 6 and then verse 12. Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees. Down to verse 12. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, neither will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Notice those statements, a great number of trees, fruit trees of all kinds. To me, that speaks of people, people of all kinds, and a great number of people. I see that this is who we are. And it's interesting that we have chosen as a verse for this year for our church, Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And I just came across this in my Bible reading, Ezekiel 47. I just figured this fits so well. Also, we think of Psalm 1, where the man who delights himself, or the one who delights themselves in the law, meditates on this law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Lately, I've had a growing desire to be fruitful. This is something that I think about a lot. Think about it in my own family. How can I be fruitful in my own family? A desire and longing, even in old age, to be fruitful. And there's a verse that really has spoken to me, and you probably know which one it is. It's from Psalm 92. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. I love that word, flourish. It just has a good sound. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." And then we read Psalm 52, verse 8. "But I am like an olive tree," David is saying, "flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever." Did you notice different kinds of trees? I have one more to talk about. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So looking at where are these trees? Well, first of all, there's different kinds of trees. We've got the palm tree, we've got the cedar of Lebanon, we've got an olive tree, and we've got a grapevine. So many different kinds of trees, and fruit trees in particular. Where are they? These trees are in the house of the Lord. You couldn't be any closer to the source of life than in the house of the Lord. So they're close, they're near. And how many times does it say, flourishing in the house of the Lord? Remain in me and I in you. And the word will, you will flourish in the courts of the Lord. You will still bear fruit in old age. You will stay fresh and green. So these are major promises for myself and for all of us. These trees in Ezekiel 47, every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. So that's so important, to stay in the stream, close to the stream. When we talk about fruit, what are we actually talking about? We think of the fruits of the Spirit. But it's not just transformed character that is fruit in our lives. We think of Jesus' parable about the seed and the sower and the soil, and that some listened to the word of the kingdom and bore 30 and 60 and 100-fold of what was planted. That's not the only thing. It's not just a fruitful response to hearing the word of God, but it's also preaching the good news and becoming fishers of men. We had Eric and Caroline share with us that Sunday. I talked about the river and about the fish, the many different kinds of fish that became to live in the Dead Sea when it became fresh. And it reminds us of fishers of men, Jesus making his disciples and his followers fishers of men. And that's what Eric and Caroline were talking about in their weekend in the city, becoming fishers of men and women as they talked to them and prayed for them. There is a verse in Proverbs that really caught my attention. I don't know if I ever noticed it, but reading it in the light of what we're talking about today is quite something. The fruit, this is Proverbs 11:30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The one who is wise saves lives." Think of the verse that reminds me of the verse from James chapter 5, verse 20. "Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death." This fruit, Ezekiel 47 says, serves as food and their leaves for healing. How do we serve as food? I think we feed on the bread of life. We feed on the bread of life. In fact, there's a verse that talks about the feeding on the bread of life. Let me just get this here. from John 6, where Jesus talked about being the bread of life. My flesh is real food, he says, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. So we feed on Jesus. Spiritually, we feed on Jesus. And that gives us food for others. We have the bread of life to give away. We have the water of life to offer people. I think of Jesus in the feeding of the 5,000, and when the disciples were thinking, what can we do for all these people? And he said, you give them something to eat. We have something to give the people. When we were at the annual Fall Supper here in Lucky Lake last Sunday night, looking around at all the people and realizing, this is the community where we live. These are the people that I have learned to know and to love. And yet many of them are starving and they don't know it. We have the bread of life to give. We have the water of life to offer them. So being fruitful is bringing people to Jesus, saving souls, but it's more than that too. It's good results coming from the life of a believer. All the good things that come from the life of a follower of Jesus. Bringing benefit to the lives of others. Advancing the work of God in this world. That's being fruitful. Just thinking about what's been happening amongst us lately. Our time last week at Jeremy and Alinda's place, and just working together. That was a fruitful experience. That was fruitful for all, not only for them, but for all of us. Adele, in leading us in knowing our spiritual gifts, that is, in order for us to become more fruitful in helping and caring for each other and in worshiping God. I was so struck last Sunday as we were celebrating communion to see the families that came up together, Dan and Judith's family, Eric and Caroline's family, Ali and Jeremy's family. They came up together. That is fruitful. That is being fruitful. That is so good to see. Wherever we flow, we bring that life, food and healing. One of the questions that came up in the test for spiritual gifts was, do you love to pray for people for healing? And or do you do that as often as you can? Something like that. And that's something that I think we all want to do more of when we realize people are in need of healing. And it's just good to hear even the prayers this morning. Sometimes I feel that in the life of the Spirit, which is like this river flowing from the temple, there's so much more we could experience, we could realize in ourselves personally and together as a church. Sometimes I feel like we're only walking ankle deep in this river. So I was thinking about that for myself, and I felt God gave me a promise. You will be fruitful. And then right after that, I had this thought that just came right on the heels of that thought. We will be fruitful. We will be fruitful. And that's staying close to the source of life, being planted by the river in the house of the Lord. So I want to conclude with some verses from Revelation. Alinda read from Revelation 22. She didn't read the verses that I'm going to read, but they're there as well. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. This is the ultimate. We get to participate in a picture of that, but this is the ultimate. It's interesting to me that there were many trees in Ezekiel, trees of different kinds, different fruit kinds of fruit trees. In this passage, on each side of the river, and this is hard to understand, on each side of the river stood the tree of life. So how does that work? We'll see. Then at the end of that, or towards the end of that chapter of Revelation 22, here's an invitation for us. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let those who hear say, come. We're inviting Jesus. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. May God bless us and make us fruitful. Amen.